in 1978, you joined Burnaby's Parks and Recreation Department, where you worked for the next 36 years.
Wow. Time flies, eh? Shows it was all going quite well then.
Yes. Please give me a synopsis of the first job you had and the positions that you held as you advanced through your career in the department.
Okay. So I started as just a seasonal laborer in the Parks Department. That was in the nursery area, so that was maintaining shrubs and flower beds and weeding gardens. Moved into the creation of a new position they had there that was managing their city street tree systems, or the arboriculture department. And moved into kind of a tradesman's position. So at the same time, I was working on a diploma in horticulture from Guelph University. It was an online program just to supplement that, because I was really enjoying my time as working in horticulture. It was a great group of people. It was outdoors. It was physical. And so I quite enjoyed that. And the superintendent of the Parks Department created a new position and wanted to move someone from the outdoors indoors to help support them and their growing department. And so I took on a position, I think it was called a park development technician, I think it was called. And so it was just a gradual progression through the Parks Department. From there, I became like a supervisor in the design section, and then ultimately a manager of planning, design, and development in the department. So my last position was this manager of planning, design, and development for the department.
Oh, okay. And you worked till 2005, I think you said, and then you moved on to Penticton.
Yes, that's right. 2005, we had an opportunity to step outside the doors, try something a little different, a job advancement with the city of Penticton, and... yeah, so Burnaby's experience really helped me move on to that step as well, too.
Yes. I wanted to ask what sparked your interest in joining the Parks and Recreation Department, and what kept you interested in staying with the department?
I was enjoying the work, certainly. They were giving me progressive challenges and opportunities, mm-hmm. and I was a young person trying to grow my career. So that matched, and it was a time of transition, I think, in the city and in the department, where there was more interest in environmental management, an area that I was interested in, and so collectively we kind of grew together, Burnaby changing its views a little bit and its values, and they kind of gave me the opportunity to help that move forward, so
yes.
I was very pleased with that.
You said that the department supported your return to SFU to do a master's degree in natural resource management, which I believe you completed in 1991, I think. So I think that's right.
You may have done your homework more than I can remember those dates, but yes, that is correct. So when I moved in into the position of supervisor of park planning, I went back to SFU part-time to work on my master's degree in natural resource management, okay. which was really an emphasis on parks planning. And so the city helped with some of the tuition fees, which I was grateful for. And in turn, my master's thesis was addressing a management issue for Deer Lake, mm-hmm. which we were working on at the time. And so I explored some of the issues in Deer Lake through my master's degree.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I was wondering how your experience at SFU was different this time than in the early 1970s.
Well, it was moving from an undergraduate to a graduate program, so much more responsibility on the individual. I guess the biggest change was, as more mature students, you bring your experiences to the program as well, too. So you're sharing those experiences. And I felt that the work experiences that I was having at Burnaby, real live resource management issues, like managing a lake, was quite interesting within this new topic, this new program really at SFU in resource management. Oh. So it was quite complimentary, actually. Yeah.
It was a new program.
It was relatively new. They had just established it, I think, perhaps maybe 2 years before I entered it. I think I was student number 40 or something like that. So they, this was a new program being created at SFU and in other universities too, and sort of resource management as a recognition of a need for that discipline was being established.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I was also wondering if the university had developed closer ties with the people of Burnaby. Well, wonder if that was different between the 1970s and going back later.
Not that I can say that I recognize that. Probably yes. Probably the both the city and the university community were growing together. I was able, though, to create an agreement to work with city staff and with the university staff to create an agreement for cooperative research between the university and the city.
Oh.
I guess this occurred through the city's environment committee, in which I was aware that the city has environmental issues and challenges and questions to be explored, and the university has a great resource in the professors and the need and the desire to do research. And so I was able to create this agreement between city and university for cooperative research, and that was just in the later stages before I left Burnaby.
So that would have been in the early 2000s then?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So then there was this relationship in which university would do applied research for the city on particular issues, and I think it worked quite well.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So that's a bit of an evolution then in that relationship then.
Yeah.
I was wondering how the mountain changed since the first time that you commuted up and down its slopes to attend university in the 1970s. Did the mountain seem taller in the 1970s? So when I interviewed Steve Mancinelli, he mentioned that he thought the mountain seemed bigger at one
bigger
time.
Bigger grew, did it? I can't say I noticed a change. I guess I became more familiar with the mountain having been a student on it, and so a greater appreciation for the resources that it had and for the opportunities for recreation that it provided people. That's, I guess, a significant change that happened on the mountain is that it used to be, I mean, in the earlier part of the time that I was working on it, it used to be a hiker's mecca. But in this era where we were creating the management plan, that was changing to more mountain biking. And so there was quite this conflict that was happening between the hikers and the bikers over, well, who owned and who managed the trail. So I guess that was an issue
I was wondering if you would have noticed if there were more or less deer as on the mountain between the 1970s and later in the 1990s.
Mm. I can't say that I noticed that. I think there was a higher acceptance of the park and the trails by the city, so there's a higher level of management of the trails. Like, there used to be a lot of off-road motorbikes that used to be on the mountain. In fact, Linda and I owned a dog that got run over on Burnaby Mountain by a motorcycle. So, you know, that was something that has changed. I guess there's just a greater, I think, awareness and appreciation of the resource by the residents. Certainly when we held open house meetings for the conservation plan, there was a lot of public interest in it. And I think appreciation for the history of the area as well, too. We're working on both Barnett and Burnaby Mountain and realized, you know, there was early history about logging and early settlement there and even First Nations history. So there were some changes there as well,
and
too.
And that was when you were working on the management plan then?
Yes, when we were working on both plans, actually, the Barnett Marine Park Management Plan. I think overlapped with the Burnaby Mountain Conservation Area Management Plan, too. Yeah.
Right. Your master's degree thesis, as you were saying, was on the restoration of Deer Lake. I'm just wondering if management of the natural areas on Burnaby Mountain became a subject of discussion during the time that you were taking your master's, that might have occurred between other students or with your professors?
I can't say that I can recall that. That it was a specific conversation. Certainly, the issues that we covered as students of resource management came to support me later when we were doing the management plans. I'm not sure that because by the time we were doing the management plan, I had finished my master's degree, mm-hmm. so it was afterwards.
Well, I guess what I was wondering is, I mean, there's all this expert knowledge at SFU,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just wondering if they applied it to management of parkland that was on their lands, essentially. Did they have a management plan?
They didn't have a management plan because most of the land within the university wasn't really conservation land, wasn't parkland. I think most of it they regarded as part of the university development area and the conservation lands outside the ring road. I'm kind of speculating there, but I don't think that they considered a lot of their lands to be sort of conservation lands that need management at any great degree.
Yeah, well, it's certainly within the ring road. That was, but then the SFU lands
outside of that,
was outside the ring road. And I was wondering if they actually had a management plan for those.
No, I don't think they did. And it wasn't a conversation that I had with the university at that level. You know, that would be sort of the operational staff. So I wasn't really, we weren't having those kind of dialogue, no.
Did City Parks and SFU have cooperative or coordinated plans or activities, maybe a better word, for the kinds of things that were going on in SFU lands and in the conservation area lands outside the SFU lands in Burnaby Park, Burnaby Mountain Park? Was there cooperation there at all?
I don't think there was much communication between the university and City Parks Department on those kind of issues. There would have been dialogue probably at a higher level between SFU administration and city administration, perhaps with the planning department, but at an operational level between SFU and City Parks, not really, no.
Okay.
We did share some joint information. Having just said that, I just realized we did share some joint information about trails because their trails on their land would connect with our trails. And
yes.
So we would, of course, want those integrated. And I know there was some sharing of information and programs a little bit at the recreational level, too, between Burnaby Recreation and SFU Recreation. There was some overlap there as well, too. So perhaps a little bit, but I don't think there was a lot at the operational.
So they shared information, resources, but they wouldn't necessarily try, say, putting money into trails together.
Right, yeah, that's right. That's right. And in fact, I don't think SFU hardly put any money into trail maintenance. I don't think it was a high priority there for them. Although they did have the trail map and we did share that kind of conversation. It wasn't a sort of attitude of joint management of the mountain. No, not that I recall.